and had the wonderful opportunity to interview some of the most accomplished and successful Montreal media figures, such as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, former Habs hockey player George Larac, and pop stars David Usher, Cyril Kumar, and Véronique Tiquet in my work as an entertainment journalist over the years.
We have to move to green energy. We absolutely have. We have to.
Just the idea that we all have the capacity to make a difference in the world, and that's what I was doing.
When I was going to play, whether you watch hockey or not, you're going to know who I am because I'll be doing something.
You have to believe in what you do, and don't ever forget that what you do is your playground.
Throughout the difficulties, how do you, you know, stand strong and, you know...
Yoga is to eliminate the misery.
I've also interviewed Canadian rock band Nickelback and world-renowned spiritual master Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's changing the world for the better. So I've often been asked by people to do a podcast. So I'm so proud to welcome you to our Montreal's Moments podcast by Zensa Media Incorporated.
That's Montreal's with a Z.
Lots of thought-provoking, humorous conversations about our media industry in North America, with an emphasis on Montreal, one of the best multicultural cities in the world. Interviews with cool artists, public figures that drop by our city, proud local Montreal artists and entrepreneurs, or people who just love our city and have something to say about it. And my colleague Alexandra will be dropping by once in a while to co-host with me. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. Welcome to another episode of Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. So today we are going to present a special Hot Topics segment. I'm going to talk a little more about our guest, Lay Kim, that was with us in our previous episode. And I wanted to elaborate a little more about some of the topics that she brought up, and also to translate some of her comments a little more in depth so you can fully grasp some of the things that she's been through. I mean, she had a really challenging time growing up in the regions, had to deal with systemic racism that unfortunately is still going on today. But she rose out of that and has become a very successful entrepreneur and talent agent to band Sans Pression and Grammy Award-winning Burna Boy. So please stay tuned, and we will kick off our show shortly and get into our Hot Topics. Welcome to another episode of Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. So I just wanted to translate a few things that Lay Kim said. She has a Chinese and Cambodian background. She's born and raised in St. Bruno. She moved to Montreal and then resided in a few other cities as she was growing up.
She talked in great detail about some of the experiences she had in St. Bruno when she was going to school there. So she mentioned that St. Bruno, in her experience, is a very racist city. She experienced a lot of discrimination while living there. There were very few Asian people and other ethnic origin residents in the area, so that already made her feel a bit isolated. She spoke of one specific horrendous situation that occurred where a bunch of Francophone Quebecois boys who had the audacity to beat her up and tell her to go back to her country. Anyone who has ever been told that, whether they've been living in Quebec for years or they're born and raised here, knows exactly how hurtful such comments can be. And she had to put up with this day in, day out when going to school. And no child deserves to be treated that way. So these Francophone Quebecois boys who were bullying her consistently, they basically were ignorant. What can we say about kids like that? It's unbelievable to most of us that anyone would even dare treat anybody that way or say such nasty things to other kids. But they're ignorant. Either they're not brought up properly or they're not educated properly. When they say things like this, they have to be told that it's unacceptable and they should never, ever be allowed to put their hand on any other student. That is the fault of the teachers and that is the fault of the principal of that school that she went to. And I'm sure there are some others. You know, we have amazing teachers and amazing people working in the education system in Quebec and across Montreal as well, especially. But there are also many that aren't doing their job properly and they need to be given courses on how to treat kids and how to handle these kinds of situations when they occur. And it should be zero tolerance for anyone trying to beat up anyone else and for anyone saying any racist slurs to anybody. It should be zero tolerance and they should be sent home and their parents should be brought in and spoken to that this will not be tolerated or the kid cannot go to school. Simple as that. And then people will shape up. I can't believe that this kind of stuff is happening in our province. We're a democratic society. It's unbelievable. So she went on to explain that when she denounced the behavior of these kids, the teachers didn't do anything. They took the side of the Quebecois Francophone kids who were bullying her. And she told them what they were saying and all the nasty things they were doing and they were beating her up. And they just sent her home instead because she had the audacity to stand up for herself and denounce bullying. And she was met by the adults that she trusted that were the teachers and the principal of that school with bullying in return. And they sent her home and took the side of the kids that were bullying her. So that is wrong and so on so many levels, but that's what she experienced and she wanted to share that story that it was unacceptable and unfortunately, it's still going on today. So she has a neighbor in Quebec City where she lives who is from Ivory Coast and it's a teenager. And basically every week he tells her stories about all the mean things that he's called in the schools. And the worst part, it's not only from students, it is for coming from the teachers. So this child from Ivory Coast has been called by his teacher, according to Lei Kim, a monkey and has been called the N-word. And it is 2024, folks. We live in North America. We live in Canada. We live in the province of Quebec within Canada. And there are teachers in this province, in the regions of Quebec, calling a kid the N-word and a monkey. That is not normal. And how is it possible that despite the diversity matters, the representation matter hashtags that were everywhere during the pandemic, with an unfortunate circumstance that occurred in the USA that put all that in front of all of us to look at how multiculturalism is treated, how people of ethnic backgrounds are treated in various aspects of various industries and in public life. And that movement, when it took off, I was like, finally, we're going to have some more equality at least and some respect for people of cultural backgrounds and have some common sense that everyone should be treated equally. And that's not what occurred here. It's occurring in the US. It's occurring internationally, somewhat, maybe a little bit in other provinces and the other like provinces in Canada. But in Quebec, wow, it stuck. And it's like they missed the memo, and it was intentional that they missed the memo. My colleague Alexandra and I, we talk about this topic very often. Like, what the heck is going on in Montreal and the rest of this province? Our mayor is using Instagram to rebrand our city and spreading a false narrative that Montreal is a Francophone city. This despite having been told that more than 50 cultural communities live in our province and we live on an Indigenous land. The taxpayer money at 80% goes to the French media, and it is increasing and amplifying more and more to remove the image of Anglophones and multi-ethnics and Indigenous in the news, in the TV shows, in films, etc. The worst part is nobody cares. And nobody in leadership has taken a strong stance on denouncing systemic racism. So I guess we have to ask ourselves, why, as a society, we allow that to happen? Why are we able to look the other way and ignore when so many have denounced over the years in fleeting news stories that systemic racism is a big problem, that it is an epidemic? It is an epidemic, folks. It is. Whether we don't see it in our daily life every day, it's happening to so many people who don't know where to turn and ask for support. And when they ask for support, sometimes in this instance, the way Lay Kim was treated, they are the ones who are victimized by the people they're asking for support from. That is unacceptable. It should be zero tolerance for this type of thing. Lay Kim did say, though, that a lot of things are moving forward, but nothing is changing. Her experience when she was growing up is the same today in 2024 for other kids. She said teachers have no right to treat kids that way. The way they are doing is unacceptable. And she hopes that at some point there's going to be some kind of disciplinary committee where kids can go with their parents and denounce these things and get people to stop behaving that way and have some respect between one another. And whether it's an Anglophone, Francophone, multi-ethnic, whoever, people need to respect each other and not use this type of ignorant behavior that is from caveman days. This is unacceptable in a democratic society, and it has to change for the better. We have to demand it as a society. If we don't, it will fester and it will get worse. And we don't want that. Nobody wants to be on the receiving end of that. So put yourself in the shoes of others for a moment and see that if you have never experienced that, that others are experiencing it. And if you have experienced it, to have a little empathy for yourself, for others, that we cannot accept this to happen to anyone else, and to never have this kind of behavior repeated. It's not right. My Zensa Media team and I were really excited to announce that our Zensa Media International Film Festival 7th edition is going to be taking place in November 2024. You can check out further details on our Film Freeway official website, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on Facebook, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on our website, www.zensamediafilmfestival.com, and on Instagram, Zensa Media. So Lei Kim also recounted a story about a job she had at a restaurant. It was like a resto bar, and she was working as a barmaid. She was doing a good job, and she was making good tips, and basically had a good experience working there. But one day, her boss came up to her and said he was kicking her out of the job because her style is too much of a Montrealer style. That was kind of funny. So I guess they have a different style in the regions of Quebec, and what they assume is a Montrealer style. I guess only they can describe what that is. So he told her her style is too Montrealer, and the clients want a Caucasian pretty blonde to serve them, not some Asian girl. She said to her boss, "You saw my style when you hired me, so then why did you hire me then?" And he didn't know what to say. And she felt terrible that it was a job that she liked and she was being discriminated against. And she was kicked out of a job just for being Asian. And because maybe a few customers didn't like that because they were racist. And can you believe in a job like that, she was not respected and thrown out simply because of her cultural background. Yet she is born and raised in Quebec, folks. She's a Quebecer through and through, like many of us, born and raised here and told she cannot work somewhere because she has an Asian background. This is still happening in 2024. If anyone in any leadership role is listening to this podcast, I hope there's somebody with some courage and some fairness and some common sense that is going to stand up and talk about this topic. It has become so taboo to even say the word racism. And to me, it's bonkers. Like anytime someone mentions it, it falls on deaf ears. And I don't know why that is. So many people have experienced it. Why don't people want it to stop? That's something we have to think about as a society. I don't hear anybody talking about it in the French media, in the English media. Nobody's talking about it. And if they talk about it, it's a fleeting story. And it's of someone who's stopped 10 times in a car. They think the cops stop them because they think the car is stolen or something when it belongs to the actual person. And systemic racism, we've seen a little bit of that in the news, also unacceptable. We've seen lawsuits launched against the city for systemic racism. We've heard about some denouncements that occurred in Le Devoir newspaper about the Ville de Montréal. There was systemic racism going on. Comments being made to employees. That too was denounced 2-3 days in the news cycle in the French media, and business as usual after that. English media barely heard about it. Just a little bit, little ripple, you know, 1 day, 2 days, and that's it. Nobody talked about it. Nobody followed up on it. We have no idea what happened with that denouncement. Is there any changes? No idea. And just because it's not in the news doesn't mean there isn't a problem. That we know, unfortunately, news cycles have limited stories that they can share. But there's also a lot of stuff that should be said and are not being said. And there's all kinds of rumors circulating in the film and TV industry on why that is. Certain stories, people are trying to get into the news. Journalists who have tried, citizens who have tried and were told no or ignored. So systemic racism is one of those topics. We're the only place who cannot have a proper conversation about it. In the States, it's loud. The conversations are amplified by a lot of celebrities, by a lot of broadcasters, a lot of talk shows. In Quebec, nothing. So I don't know why, but we felt we needed to talk about it because we've been affected ourselves from systemic racism. Myself, my colleague Alexandra, some of my team members. We know how it feels to be on the receiving end of that. And we actually care about our city. We care about our province and we have empathy for others who go through tough times. And I think it was a topic we needed to share. And I'm so glad Lay Kim was authentic and courageous and honest and shared her story for others to feel that they're not alone in this, and others who have had this experience to feel a little bit encouraged by the conversation that we had on this podcast about this topic. And she's writing a book, and I hope that everyone will get a copy of it when it comes out and learn from it, and the leadership has to take notice, I hope, as well, and do something in the jobs that they're given that have a mandate to do what's right for the public. They should look into this and put some measures in so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. So Lay Kim also mentioned to us that in business, she's also experienced sexism as a woman, entrepreneur, woman leader in her work as a talent agent in the field of music. And so she mentioned that she's had some negative experiences with Quebecois Francophone men and also men of other cultures who have bossed her around and have not taken her seriously, but she knows what she's doing. She didn't get to where she is just by fluke. She has built her business. She has built a reputation with other people in marketing and in business, and she knows what she has to do. And people yet still try to treat her as if she doesn't know anything because she's a woman, maybe because she's an ethnic minority, who knows? Only those guys know who talked to her like that and treated her in a very demeaning way. So she felt a lot of jealousy from them, and their behaviors she felt were uncalled for. And unfortunately, those behaviors damaged a lot of working relationships and groups that were formed to do some of these projects in the music industry. So she felt that that was an unfortunate outcome of that kind of behavior from them. But she put up with a lot, and she doesn't take crap from anyone anymore. And now with her success, she said some people may be regretting on how they treated her. But, you know, the best way is to learn from others' mistakes. And I think we've heard so many stories from celebrities, and especially in American media. Here we don't talk much about those things. Any kind of negative story that we hear going on with celebrities, local celebrities, they're either in the French media or in the English media, and they don't last long in the news cycle, and we don't really hear any other celebrities speaking out for various reasons, and it's their choice. I'm not saying they have to, but I just noticed that in American media, people speak out a lot. They use their platforms as public figures to denounce things. Many celebrities do. Many don't, but many do. And I think many of us can learn from them, those who do take that stance. We can learn from them and learn from their mistakes and not repeat them. But yet we see constantly similar mistakes just happening over and over again because people don't learn from others and they just look at their own experience and focus on what they want, or they mistreat people sometimes as people have treated her. And that's unfortunate. And they just wind up repeating the same mistakes that so many others in the industry wind up doing. And that's not productive. And that doesn't really do much for the industry. So it's terrible that she went through some of these situations, but she has come out of them stronger than ever, I guess I can say, and wiser. And she is doing great things now. And she's turned the negative experiences into something positive and speaking out about it and writing a book too. So we should stay tuned for that. My Zensa Media team and I were really excited to announce that our Zensa Media International Film Festival 7th edition is going to be taking place in November 2024. You can check out further details on our Film Freeway official website, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on Facebook, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on our website, www.zensamediafilmfestival.com, and on Instagram, Zensa Media. Just to translate what Lay Kim was saying about her work. So she mentioned that she was organizing networking events. She had done one where she invited Joyce Echaquan's family for a silent auction that had a painting of Louis Tremblay. So in this silent auction where Joyce Echaquan's family was invited, for those of you who don't know who Joyce Echaquan was, she was part of the indigenous community. She was allegedly very mistreated in a healthcare facility in a hospital. And we all saw this on the news with video footage that she had taken of her experience there of neglect and insults hurling from the nurses that were there. But again, it's allegedly, as we said, there's, you know, people who are looking into that matter. So it was horrible to see that on TV. So her family obviously suffered a lot in the process as well. And so Lay Kim, you know, tried to show her support in this way by helping them through this silent auction. And Randy Jackson, Michael Jackson's brother, attended her event as well. And that got her more visibility as well. And the guys who discovered Drake and The Weeknd were also in attendance and are now her good friends. So that's pretty cool. And from this event, she got a lot of visibility in the media. And the hip-hop group from Quebec, Sans Pression, they're very popular and many people grew up listening to their music. And they contacted her on social media and asked if she could manage them. I guess they had seen something in her work that, you know, made them want to reach out to her. And she had no previous experience as a talent agent, but she decided to take a leap of faith and decided to work with them. And I think she's really glad that she did. And from there on, she got to book even Method Man and Redman, who are American hip-hop royalty, as many of you have grown up also, as I have listening to their music. And they wanted to come to Canada, and she got to book a show for them. So how cool is that? I mean, it's just awesome. And I'm just so thrilled for her success. And despite everything she's been through, she is one of Quebec's rising stars in the music industry. Kim, if she could be arts and culture minister for one term, what would she do? So she had a good sense of humor about it. She said that she would knock down the Olympic Stadium and make a fake beach and invite all the talented artists to come chill out there. And I think many of us can agree that that Olympic Stadium is not worth spending millions and millions of dollars on fixing the roof. We've been hearing about it in the media across the province, and it's outrageous the amount of our tax money that is going to be put into a roof when it could have been put into society and people and investing in communities and businesses and the environment. There's so many things that it could have been used for in a better way. And it's unfortunate that it's being wasted on a roof for the Olympic Stadium like that. So she would just knock it down and make a fake beach and make it a place, you know, where artists can chill out. So that's one of the things she would do. But in all seriousness, she would like to organize more events for, especially for multi-ethnic artists who are not treated equally in the industry, to give them a platform to share their talent. And she said the entertainment industry and the media industry is not just music. There's so many other forms of art that are part of arts and culture, pottery, painting, dance. You know, there's so many things that she would like to include. And she said there's so much talent in our province. I don't think we realize it. And she would like there to be the tools available to people, the information available to people on how to apply for funding, to have events where people can showcase their work. And she said she doesn't see that a lot in the regions, but she would like there to be more events and places where youngsters can also go and have an outlet for their creativity. So then they would have less problems in that way too, because they would have something to strive for and their talent to share. And I told her the same thing in Montreal. Multi-ethnics are not well supported here, despite what anyone might think. In the regions, we have very big inequities in arts funding and arts visibility, and that's something she said that she would like to improve things on and give people an opportunity to show their talent. Thank you again for listening to another episode of our Montreal Moments podcast. We wish you a fantastic week. See you next time. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word.